Blog Talk Radio.
Around the World, Inner Sight, dedicated to the memory and the honor of Joseph Arion. And tonight, we honor Joe. Today would have been his birthday, 66, I believe. Maybe I'm off, but somewhere around there. Joe was a great, great guy and a great advocate, and he was a real human being. I mean, we all loved him. There were times when he was exasperating and irritating and all that, but you always came back to Joe if you understood where he was coming from, you know. And we affectionately called him Big Joe because he was big at what he did as an advocate. He was our transportation advocate. And he knew his stuff. He knew railroads. He knew buses. He knew they even invited him up to Suffolk Bus to check out their operation. And they offered him a job at Suffolk Bus, but he couldn't take it because he didn't want to lose his disability. Isn't that something? Why should a disabled person have to lose their disability? You're still disabled, aren't you? Well, that's one of the things that Joe was fighting for through Inner Sight. Talk about it all the time. A person should be able to keep their disability no matter what. That money belongs to us for as long as we're disabled. So Big Joe, now it was so funny because when we referred to him as Big Joe, and many a time he was on the telephone, people didn't know what he looked like. They couldn't see him. So when they heard Big Joe, it was intimidating to many, you know, and that could serve to be a better advocate, you know. I mean, whatever you got to do, you know, to get that point across and to help that person. Well, I shouldn't say whatever, no violence, you know. But anyway, so Big Joe was the assistant director of Inner Sight and the director of transportation advocacy, and he liked that title. Joe was at his best when he was advocating. You know, he was like a lawyer, a brilliant lawyer in a courtroom when he was advocating for somebody's rights. He would always find ways to get around things and to talk somebody down, convince them to get something out of them. You know, I'll never forget the time we were in a big department store together, and I was looking at this jacket on a rack, and it was a $10 rack, but the jacket had a $100 tag on it. Joe was able to, he had that partial vision, you know, and he was able to read the tags sometimes. So Joe said, oh, no, you know, it's on a $10 rack. That means it's supposed to be $10. So he called, he got the manager to come out. And the manager took the garment and brought it in the back, did whatever he had to do. And he came out and he said, okay, $10. You know, and Joe had an expression for that. I don't want to offend anyone. You know, and this is not meant as prejudiced or biased in any way. But Joe had an expression, I Jewed him down. You know, he was Jewish, you know. So that was Joe. That was Big Joe. He had that way about him, and sometimes he could be obnoxious. I didn't like when he drank. It really upset me when Joe drank that Hennessy stuff, you know. And I think he did it a little too much, and that may have been his downfall. But a great advocate, a great person, a very big animal lover. He had his cat, you know, and I remember Daisy, the one cat, and then she got old, and he got Smokey, and Smokey used to talk on the show. I wish we could find some of those clips of Joe when he put Smokey up to the phone, you know, and he was talking, and Smokey would meow through the phone. I don't know if the engineer can find any of that, but it would be great if we could. Anyway, Inner Sight, brought to you by the Big East, thekeytorescue.org. So check it out, Big East. And Joanne Diamond, the Akita lady over there at the rescue. June 28th is the Whisker Walk. We'll get more information on that. That's their fundraiser, June 28th. All right. Adopt the Nikita. 609-388-7004. Big East. Akita Rescue. 609-388-7004. On the phone number. Around the world, all the beautiful children. A little Tommy, Avante, Corey, and all the others. Watch out for them. Take care of them. Those kids with the that are coming down with this virus, give them the oil of oregano. Give them a drop 2-3 times a day. You know, give it to them in their ice cream or whatever. If you have to, that's a good way to protect children. Wild oil of oregano, greatest stuff in the world. One of the greatest. All right. Watch out for the youngsters. Go an extra mile for a child. That's the Inner Sight reminding you. Around the world, Mr. Kennedy Realty. 631-888-1186. Buy a house, sell a house. Get some good advice. And now's the time to call Kennedy for advice, because he may have more time on his hands. And when he opens up the office, I know he's going to be swamped. All right. Anthony Kennedy Realty. Check him out. 631-888-1186. Silo, Suffolk Independent Living Organization. Good source of information. You want to know about legislation or meetings or events that have been canceled and maybe rescheduled. They may have that information. All right. Silo, 631-880-7929. So check them out. Around the world, Inner Sight, my friend James Bahamonde, attorney, at 516-783-9662. And some of our friends who helped us in the past, Good Mojo Printers, SuttonInsurance.com, TuroLawCenter.com. All right. And, of course, our friends at Suffolk Bus Corp. Don't forget them. Let's see. Nobody Starves on Long Island. Gary, the guy you speak to. 631-484-3085. You need dog food, cat food, give Gary a call. And when he has the availability, he can do medical for the animal too. 631-484-3085. Nobody Starves on Long Island. All right, around the world, Inner Sight, tonight, celebrating the birthday, although Joe is upstairs, way up, He was an angelic type guy. So you got to believe that he was taken upstairs. The birthday of the great advocate Joe Arion. And I got to tell you, the hospital that he died in was a horrible, horrible place. Don't ever go there. I don't usually mention the names of places, but that Good Samaritan Hospital out here in Suffolk County, it's a hellhole. They treated Joe horrible. They were very condescending to him. I visited him a couple of times, and on one occasion, the Catholic nun came in and completely disregarded what he had to say. She was conversing with me, and Joe was trying to get his point across, you know, struggling from his bed. And I said to her, I said, what are you talking to me for? Talk to him.
That's right.
You know? So we gave her the name of Dr. Lou. Mm. And, you know, Joe told her about it. I believe she wrote it down, but I don't believe they ever called him.
Nah. They didn't.
So
they didn't do anything for him that he wanted.
No, they just let him lie there and put pumped sugar into him or whatever, glucose, and then they when he couldn't breathe, they had him on that respirator. I believe he had that virus.
I think he had a virus.
COVID-19.
I don't think he had that, but I think he definitely had a virus. No, it was too early for it. At the time.
Nah, that virus has been around for hundreds of years. Come on.
Well, it has been around hundreds of years, but it hasn't been that particular virus at that time. This only came around, this particular one, this vicious one, in 2019.
No, I think many people had that virus before.
Mm-hmm.
And passed away.
Maybe.
From complications. Joe had a bad heart.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, when you have a complication, when you have other medical conditions, and then you get a virus, it's 100 times worse.
Oh, I know.
And it can kill you.
Yeah.
That's why these doctors need to wake up and bring in other types of healing.
I canceled an appointment. It was supposed to be for today. I was supposed to go in, and I was supposed to get a certain thing from my heart. Like, they do echocardiogram to make sure they think that this is happening. They think. You notice how they say they think. I hate when they say
it's
they think.
It's all theory.
Yeah, so it's supposed to evaluate my heart, make sure everything is okay between the heart and the lungs, because I have COPD, technically. And that's only for people who, like, smoke. I don't smoke, but the problem is I have the paralyzed lungs. So they're like, you know, let's see what's going on with you, blah, blah, blah. You know, the whole deal, Frank. Anyway, so they want to take a look at the artery between the heart and lung, see if it's clogged, right? Well, I said to myself, what the hell are they going to do if they find this out? And they put me at risk. I'm not doing this right now. I don't want to do this right. I don't feel comfortable.
I thought they were doing
right
all this stuff online. What happened?
That's what I said. I said, well, I don't feel
video
comfortable. I don't feel comfortable right now doing this. Really, I didn't. I said to them that. So they called the doctor. The doctor said she don't feel comfortable. She's feeling the same. Hasn't gotten any worse. Then let's not do it. That's what he said. I'm happy he said that. You know?
Yeah, well,
if she's feeling
why
worse,
you,
feeling chest pain, then we'll do it.
Go to all that stress.
So she's not feeling any chest pain, and she's not feeling more short of breath. We don't have to do it. She's the same. Then let's not, you know, do it. I'm just feeling like a shortness of breath, and it's like it's been there, and it's really annoying, and I wasn't happy about it, you know?
Yeah, well, Joe had a bad heart, and he went to the heart doctor.
I do.
And, he was telling the guy what he wanted to do. You know, the guy wanted him to take all his,
oh, yeah,
his medicine,
yeah,
and
yeah,
wanted him to take an aspirin too.
I remember.
You know?
That.
And he didn't want that, you know.
And a blood thinner, I think, at one point.
Yeah, he was assertive with this doctor. I just wish that he was assertive with going to Dr. Liu.
Well.
The Chinese Grand Master who helped him at one time and saved his life when he couldn't even walk.
I think he went to the cardiologist before he went to Dr. Liu. That's what the problem was. He should have gone to Dr. Liu, and it would have been, he probably would have been around still, honestly.
Yeah, the cardiologist wasn't doing anything for him.
Mm-mm.
You know?
Nope.
They didn't pick up things, what was wrong with him, the way Dr. Liu would have done. And they certainly didn't give him any acupuncture.
Nope.
To keep the bloating down and all that. He needed that.
Yeah.
He needed all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's where he got in trouble, and coupled with the fact that he lost the will to live.
Yeah. We know why too.
And that's the thing that really bothered me, and I got to be very honest, it made me angry.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
Because he wouldn't listen. You know, he wouldn't respond. When I was in the hospital that time, and that nun was condescending to him and all that, I said, "Joe, what do you want me to do? Let me do something." He says, "No." He said, "No, I'm gonna die right in this bed."
Yeah.
You know. Now, what are you going to do?
He wouldn't let
like
me
that?
Help him either. I asked him. He goes, "This is not the time for it." I'm like, "Joe, let me help you." I asked him more than once, Frank, honest. "Let me help you, Joe. Let me help you." He didn't want to. Really didn't. I think
he
had something more involved with his eyes, and he didn't tell us. He really didn't.
He was a very proud guy.
Yes, he was.
He was very conscious of his vision.
Yes,
and the
was.
Vision that he had,
yeah.
You know, and he didn't want to appear as a blind person. I said, "Joe, why don't you get a dog? You love dogs." "No, no, I don't want that. You know, I don't want that." And he didn't want to use the cane.
No, it wasn't only that. I'm going to tell you more what it was. I don't think his mom, his dad, they didn't want him to appear as disabled as he was. They wanted him to be able to, because the society is very cruel to people with disabilities, and we know that very well. We very much know that, all of us. So they wanted him to be able to have, you know, the ability to, you know, live in a non-disabled world. This is truth. You know,
well,
he told me
I don't
that.
Know about his mom and dad. I never met them, but
no,
I
was
know
told
about
this by him.
Joe.
No, he told me. He told
I only
me.
Know what Joe told me, and
yeah, he told me.
You know,
yeah.
On one hand, he had a good childhood, and on another, he was made to feel insecure.
Yeah, he was
about his visual. Limitation.
Disability, yeah. He definitely
was. And I know he was afraid to lose what little he had.
Oh, yes, he was.
That I know. But, you know, throughout the whole thing, all these that we've just talked about, he didn't let it stop him from being an advocate.
No, he was very strong. You know why? I think he had a fight for everything that he... You know, that what was. He needed to fight for that. And that was the problem. He needed, if he wanted anything, he needed to fight for it. That was the problem. And that.
Well, I
is,
think
like,
Joe was happiest. He was the happiest when he was advocating for somebody.
Yes, he was. He was very good.
That was his thing.
Very,
that was his strength, you know.
Yes.
And that's one of the reason why he liked Inner Sight, because it allowed him to be himself.
That's right.
And that's what we're about, you know.
Yeah, but he also is very good at what he did. He's very good advocate. And not only a good advocate, an excellent advocate. He used to call me every day, and I didn't want to advocate. I didn't want to fight. I really didn't. I just wanted things, to be honest, I wanted things to come. And that didn't happen, you know. In truth, I really did not want to fight. I wanted things to just be. Seriously. And it's probably not the best thing, but I just was sick and tired of fighting. It really was.
Well,
he
we all get tired
me.
Of the way we have to conduct
fight,
our lives, you know.
He had to encourage me. Encourage me every morning. What do we have to do? He loved doing it, though. He used to get on the phone with he enjoyed it. He actually enjoyed helping me fight against them. He enjoyed it.
Yeah.
He
remember
really
the time we went into a restaurant, and I had my guide dog with me, of course, and this guy, the manager, the owner, whoever he was, we can't have the dog in here. And Joe said, it's a guide dog. And the guy said, well, it doesn't look like a guide dog. And
what's a guide dog look like?
Joe said, what does a guide dog look like?
Yeah, I remember that. You saying
you
that.
Know? And the guy didn't know what to say. He just walked away.
Yeah, but, it's the truth, though. What does a guide dog look like? You know, what are you going to say to that, buddy? What does a guide dog look like?
It doesn't matter what a guide dog looks like, as long as it guides you.
Right. That's right.
As long as it knows what to
as
do.
As long as it does the work.
Sure.
You know?
A guide dog could look like anything. Could be the ugliest animal in the world.
But as long as it's there to help you, that's all that matters.
You know, who cares?
You know?
All right, Inner Sight, remembering Joseph Arion and 213-816-1650, anybody out there? Now, we have, are you able to get any clips up on this program?
Oh, no. I wish I mean, right now, I can't. It's too short notice. I'm not that fast. Freak.
Well, I mean, are they at your? How does this thing work? Are they at your fingertips or what?
No, not that fast.
Would you have to dig them up?
Yeah.
You have to find them. Is that it?
Yeah, and I have to upload them, and they don't make it easy, Frank.
Oh, I thought maybe with the computers, the impression I got was you put in Joe's name.
I wish.
You know, and 2, 3, 4 of them will pop up.
This is not a big gas studio. Excuse my French, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, they call it a studio.
Yeah, well, that's all they call it.
But anyway, for those of you who don't know Joe and you want to hear, you can go to the archive of Inner Sight, Blog Talk Radio. And put in the show, you know, and pick out, let's see, you'd have to go back.
2018.
Yeah, 2019.
No, 18, before 2018.
Yeah.
Like 2019 is when we had the first anniversary, I think, right?
Yeah, you can hear, go back to 2018 if you want to hear Joe.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. And you can hear what a great advocate he was. You know, I'll tell you, I learned a lot from Joe. You know, I learned a great deal from him by listening to him, by being with him. And you talk about operating on the phone. I think Joe is the greatest guy I ever heard using a phone.
Oh, yeah. He was very good. He taught me a lot of things about the phone.
He could take that phone and break through any kind of a system.
Oh, you taught me how to do that. Really?
That people set up.
Yeah.
You know? All right, let's see. We have any callers?
Yeah. Yes. Give me a second. Let me take a quick look.
Inner Sight Live.
All right. We have Maureen and we have Anthony. Who would you like first?
Oh, well, let's
Maureen's
see. Maureen.
Cute
Maureen didn't know Joe.
No.
All right, let's take Anthony and then we'll get to Maureen. Anthony
okay.
knew Joe.
He is Anthony. Yes, he did. Hold on.
Inner Sight.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Suzanne. How are you? Hi, Frank.
Hi. How you doing?
Hey.
I'm okay. Yeah, I never called Joe personally for help, but I remember how willing he was to help people.
Oh, yeah.
And
all
how annoyed, you know, some of the people used to get, you know, with him. I used to get a kick out of hearing the hornblower stories and how he, you know, got them to give you the wheelchair and
oh, yeah.
everything like that. And he was very persistent and very on top of things and very insistent, and that was good too. And, you know, he always knew how to get to, you know, the right people to get what he wanted accomplished. If you go through any other organization, you know, they don't really advocate for you. They make one call, and then you've got to call them back and wait some more time, and then they tell you that they have to talk to their supervisor and get back to you and this and that, and you never hear from them. But that's one of the great things about Inner Sight, you know. They really do, you know, get after the people that need to be gotten after. They publicize it. They embarrass the hell out of you. And, you know, Joe was a very valuable asset to this organization, and he was really great at what he did. And one of the greatest things about Inner Sight is that, you know, when you need them, they're always there for you, and they're always willing to do whatever you need. And a lot of organizations, they'll make a call for you, but if it comes to writing a letter, you know, it's got to be approved by somebody, and it's got to be worded
board meeting.
There. I'm sorry?
Board meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Board meeting.
Oh, yeah. They've got to decide. They've got to decide what to do about it. And lots of times, you know, they, after a while, you know, if they can't get somebody to do what they want, they kind of, you know, just try to, you know, find a way to wiggle out of helping you and to get you to stop calling. I remember we had a store here in my neighborhood that I wanted them to break the step and make it accessible for disabled people. And I don't know, there was just something particularly annoying about that, you know, particular place. I'm sure there's other places in the world and, you know, they're not accessible. And to some people, you know, there were other places that were more unaccessible and were more important, and there were bigger issues in the world to the disabled community. But I had called somebody who worked for United Spinal, and I asked for them to help me, and she, you know, kept saying, okay, okay, she will. Oh, let me take your number, and I'll call you back, and she never did. And then she bullshitted me and, you know, said, oh, well, we don't have staff here, and the focus is on, you know, self-advocacy and blah, 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 and I don't know if we can help you, and I don't know how many people, you know, we have that can help you on this and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, she just, you know, repeated herself again, listen, I'm doing the work of four people. And what I wanted to do was tell her that I didn't give a shit about, you know, her having to do the work of four people. I went to this place, and it pissed me off because my mom, I couldn't get in there with my wheelchair, and the guy was just standing there, you know, behind the counter looking at me like, you know, like a dummy that I couldn't get in. And it just annoyed the hell out of me that I had to wait outside in the cold while my mom went inside and got what I wanted. So I called James Weissman. Yeah, I called James Weissman, and I told him about it, and he filed a human rights complaint, and, you know, he got them to be concerned about it. But human rights is basically full of shit, too, because they do things that's going to make them look good in the public eye, and that's all that concerns them. And, like, if you live in, like, let's say NYCHA, which is a city-owned building, and you want to make a complaint about, you know, an elevator not being accessible, now I realize that NYCHA's buildings are old, and a lot of times because of the space that's in the wall and the shaft size and, you know, some of the complicated measurement-related issues, they wouldn't be able to make the elevator big enough. But Human Rights doesn't want to take any complaints against their own city agencies. You know, well, we're not taking complaints against them at this time because they don't want to go against the grain, and they work for the city themselves. And basically,
yeah,
you know, they prioritize, like, you know, large numbers of steps in a building, or if it's going to make them look good in the public eye, they'll have their, you know, commissioner get somebody to get right on top of it because the news is involved, and they'll take care of that problem, and, you know, within no time they'll put pressure on whoever is supposed to take care of it to get it done. But other than that, they really don't give a shit either. I used to know somebody who worked for Human Rights.
Yeah. The cursing, please, no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, please.
That's all right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We'll get thrown,
you know,
up the air.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry about that, Frank. I you know, I have to catch myself. But, you know, he told me that Human Rights is basically, you know, a bureaucracy in itself, and they, you know, don't really get much done without it taking forever. So, you know, they got it done, and that was the only time I ever dealt with them. But they don't really do anything either. But, you know, when you deal with Intersight will stay on top of your issue, and, you know, they care about it, and they, you know, care about what bothers you, and they, you know, they keep the pressure up on, you know, these people to do the right thing. Everybody in these organizations don't really care about, you know, things that relate to that affect the disabled community because they're not disabled themselves, and they just, you know, do it as a job, and whatever happens, happens. If you call anybody to get, you know, on their case, they'll say, oh, you know, get them off my case, I've got work to do, I need more time. But Joe related to many of the issues, or, you know, at least if he didn't go through the same issue you did, he had sympathy for you, and he understood.
Yeah,
and, you know, he thought it was a pity, and he would listen and really cared and really, you know, genuinely wanted to see something done about it, and it really made a difference to him in his heart, you know, about the situation you were going through and the quality of life disabled people experienced on a regular basis, and that's really what he was all about.
Yeah, we'll never be able to replace him, that's for sure.
That's
oh, yeah, I know
he's
that.
He's one of a kind.
He was really, you know, like you said, you know, the one and only, and we were very lucky to have him, and these other organizations would have loved to have him, but, you know, they weren't as lucky as we were, and their advocates
Thank
wouldn't
God
work as hard.
Well,
he tried
to get one group that went out of business to understand the concept of Inner Sight and to start working toward it. And some of the people in that group did. And then that's when the state came in and shut them down.
Yeah, I remember.
Happens all the time. You know?
Yeah.
Because they were helping people. They actually dipped into their cash, you know, the money that they had, and they were helping people, and the state got wind of it and put them out of business, you know, the petty cash.
Exactly, because the state will say, well, that's not what you're supposed to be using it for, and
yeah,
that's not, you know, a good enough, you know, not cost effective and not a good enough reason to help, and you have to, you know, they'll come up with some complicated, complex way of doing things about you having to have a board to approve it and a form filled out and, you know, wait for, you know, a decision back. They want everything,
yeah,
you know, the complicated way to be documented. Nobody, you know, gets help overnight and, you know, nothing comes by tomorrow. You wait for it and wait for it and wait for it. And, you know,
and they hope you,
you
die,
do,
so they don't have to give it
yeah
to you.
They do hope you die. I used to tell Joe this all the time, and I don't know if you remember it, Frank, how, you know, everything that the disabled person has a price tag attached to it. And,
yeah,
you know, they estimate how long you're going to live, for example, with home
yeah
care.
Yeah.
So, you know, they want to give
very
you as
true
little bit of hours as possible, because if you live too long, it's going to cost them too much. And that was part of their problem with
it's
the managed
true
care. That was part of their problem with the managed care, that people were living longer, and then they had all these hours, and they weren't dying fast enough.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that's so true.
The Social Security checks and, you know, everything else was still having to come in, and they were having to, you know, pay for things for people beside home care, the wheelchairs, this and that. And people survived a lot longer than what they expected. So they came up with this idea, well, we'll get, you know, private agencies to do it because it'll be cheaper anyway, and they're all complaining about their agencies and they can't find anybody and who lives where and who doesn't want to come. So, you know,
the nursing homes like younger people because
yeah,
so they'll live longer and they can make more money on them.
Yeah, because when you're in the nursing home, they know people are
yeah
at their last stages of life and they're older and they die faster a lot
yeah
of times in the nursing homes, you know, than they do at home, you know, either because they're sick or because they fell out of the bed and had to have surgery and, well, that's the end of their life. But their problem is that, in their estimation, they don't get enough younger people.
You're right.
And,
yeah,
you know, all organizations, you know, whether they be nursing homes or, you know, organizations for veterans and stuff like that, when they deal with an older population, when they die off, they don't know
yeah
how to survive because they don't have enough money to live without them, and they don't, you know, estimate, you know, what to do without them because how long can that money last? You know what I mean?
I got to remind people about the television, and I want to tell a funny Joe Arion story. Anything else, Anthony?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you for that.
Take care.
Good night.
You're
welcome. We really appreciate it. By the way, yeah, television, Wednesday night, 8:30, Channel 20, Long Island, Manhattan Neighborhood Network, 1997, and Channel 3 on the Spirit Channel. That's Wednesdays at 11.
Pardon me, Frank.
Get
Anthony,
it all over.
Can you just hang up a second? I'm having trouble disconnecting you.
You get it on the Internet on Channel 3
mm-hmm
on that Wednesday night, Manhattan Neighborhood Network. All right. And don't forget, tomorrow night, the Funnies, Laura and Hardy are going to go to the pool room. Well, that should be funny. All right. A few years back, this story is so funny. Joe and I went on a cruise, you know, around Long Island. It wasn't a big around the world or anything, but Long Island, they had the boat.
We have Robin
you,
too, by the way.
That
sorry
you. The boat that you gamble on, you know, the cruise, and it was a hot day, and we're out on the ocean, and we're playing in the slot machine, you know, the quarters. We both like to play the quarters, and I ran out of quarters. See, so I said to Joe, loan me a quarter. He said, I only got three quarters. I said, well, that's a loan me one. Come on, I'm going to win. I got the feeling, you know, I'm going to win big, Joe. Come on. He said, you're big, Joe. Give me a quarter. You have to give me a quarter. Yeah, give me a quarter. So he finally, reluctantly, hands me this quarter, see. And I'm playing and playing and playing. And every 5 minutes, he said, don't forget you owe me a quarter. I said, Joe, I know I owe you a quarter. And then I said, well, I gotta go to the bathroom. He said, Well, make sure you don't get lost. I said, Joe, we're in the middle of the ocean. Where am I going to go? You got to give me my quarter, you know. I went to the restroom. I came back. I put a quarter in the machine, and brrr, about 10, 20 bucks came. I said, Joe, here's your quarter. That was so funny. And we were both, he was so serious about it. But I was laughing, you know, because I know Joe. But Joe was a good guy. Many a time we hung out, and he would buy me dinner, you know. All right, Inner Sight, honoring Joe Arion. Who'd you say on the line?
I have a better story about Joe. We have Robin, but I have a better story.
Robin?
But I have a better story, quick.
Oh, wait a minute, let's get Robin first, and then you can tell your story.
Okay. Mine's about
Inner Sight.
The apple pie.
Hello. Inner Sight Live.
Robin. Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Suzanne. Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I am definitely hanging in there and trying.
Hey.
It's very hard because everyone's on quarantine, as you know. I'm COVID negative, but I did
have
pneumonia. And they sent me home from the hospital because the hospital was full of people with COVID-19.
Yeah.
So I got to recover at home. And Regina, as you said,
you were lucky.
Oh, I'm hanging in there. Today I've been crying a lot. I've been thinking of Joe. Thinking of the people that I would love to help. And
Robin, can you turn that television down so we can hear you better?
Yes, I'm turning. Can you hear me now? I turned the television down.
Yeah, it's better. Thanks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I've been thinking of Joe, thinking of how much I love to help people, how much a good guy Joe was, him, his cat, thinking of Inner Sight and doing the show he used to do, Cablevision.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I miss you guys. I miss Joe. He was a wonderful, wonderful guy.
Yes,
and,
he was.
I remember
you
going to.
He directed the television show, even though he could hardly see it.
Yeah.
I don't know how he did it.
And he worked at Fast River, had great places for so many years.
We did it together.
Suzanne, quiet.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Robert, what were you saying?
I remember him working so many years at Riverhead Raceway, and he always had time to help people. Always was there. I remember him with transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And how good he was. The problems of Long Island Railroad and SCAT.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of the times when he was in the hospital and how he was mistreated.
Oh, yeah.
And I still miss him till today.
Yeah, we do.
I'm sorry
all
for being so emotional.
No, that's okay.
But,
please.
I thought I was waiting till all the tears were gone so I could call. And I wouldn't be.
No, that's okay.
I would be so sad.
That's
all
right,
here.
You know.
That's
we're
all
mourning, Joe.
You didn't know what happens to me. I get pop-ups that you have Facebook memories with somebody, and then it pops up, and I bust out crying throughout the year. And it's with Joe, and he used to share with me, you know, I got to share it with you so you don't feel as bad. And I get it, and he shares with me Dr. Lou remedies throughout the year, and every time I bust out crying. It's natural to, and it's good. It's a catharsis. It's good. Don't think it's
it
not.
Is.
Emotions are good. You know, don't think that they are. Especially during this time, you need to let out the emotions. You need to let out that stress. You need to have the catharsis. You need to. It's not bad. You know?
Yeah, we're glad you're not in the hospital.
That's it.
Oh, I'm very glad
place
that
to be
my
these
van.
Days.
Yeah.
My van ended up, I lent it to somebody, and they ended up crumpling it up like an accordion.
Oh, no. What happened?
Which is, I went down to somebody because I wasn't using it. And they needed it to help move somebody. And then the girlfriend, she got drunk. She didn't have a license. She decided she wanted to kill herself, and she used my van. She still lived. She made it to the hospital. She had tries to kill themselves with a seatbelt on. She drove my van into a tree at 70 miles an hour.
And she lived?
She lived. She had a seatbelt on, but she was
drunk. Robin,
you
got
to
stop saying yes
relaxed.
To everybody.
That's the problem. I see somebody in need.
You
and my heart bleeds to them. Oh.
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah. I looked on eBay to find another van, an 87 van like mine, was $8,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy dropped the price to $6,000. But, I mean, look at me. I just got the stimulus for $1,200. I spent $300 on things already. And I thought, okay, I could do something. But it's not... I don't have any place near $6,000. I don't have any place to get $6,000. So that's a dead end.
Mm.
And I have people who always call me up, they're out of food. And I said, I don't even have the van to go help them to get food, to get the things. We lost a dog, Great Dane this year, with cancer.
Oh.
Lost two cats.
Oh.
And if it wasn't for Gary Kaufman, nobody starves on Long
he's
Island.
He is fabulous. He's fabulous. That's the only way I could describe him. He's awesome.
But I can't
I'm
expect
get
him
another
to
dog.
Pay everything.
I need to get another dog, though, by the way. I lost
We were
dog.
Talking
yeah.
about that.
I need another
I'm
dog.
I'm still in mourning over Zeus. And I have a cat who has a thyroid condition and seizures.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually due for another urinalysis, and that's $51.
Oh, that's
he's helped me out.
He has? Oh, God bless him.
He helped me out with a blood test, which was $200, and I don't want to ask him for the $51. So I said I'm debating because the food for our kidneys is $67 for 8 pounds.
Oh.
So the last time I went to get food, he says, oh, I paid $35 for the food, and he paid the other $25.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be a beggar.
You know,
and yet,
it's a weird feeling. I know.
Well, you're not a beggar. The agency should be helping.
That's right.
And they don't.
You know, it's a weird feeling, Frank. I got to say, you know, in the beginning, when I first became disabled, I know what, Robin is saying. You do feel that way. You really do.
I don't.
You feel like you are one.
I don't.
In the beginning, yes. In the beginning,
no,
yes.
I don't
I
at all. The government owes me. The agencies owe me $30 million. They could never repay me for what they owe me. Denying me my life with a guide dog and now denying me the medical. They could never repay me for that. The lousy $1,200, that's horrible. It should be $12,000 for me.
Yeah,
and more what they owe me.
I know. Well, let me finish what I have to say, okay? What I'm saying is it took me a very long time to mentally and emotionally accept that this is my new reality and I have to accept somebody helping me, number one, and accept.
They're helping themselves. They're not helping you.
But I had
they're helping
to
themselves.
Change my. Wait, let me finish. I
without
had to change
you
my
and
view.
Us, they wouldn't have a damn dime.
No,
these
this
agencies.
Was this was me when I was in my teens. I'm talking about my teens. I had to accept my new norm. I had to accept my new reality. I had no clue my new world was going to be this way, Frank. Do you understand that?
Well, nobody
it's
knows what's
going to
be in life. Nobody knows
yes.
that.
I was only 20 when this all happened to me, Frank. I was still a young person.
Yeah, so nobody knows.
Right.
What's going to happen?
So I didn't grow into this. I wasn't born that way. I wasn't, you know, this wasn't my life. This wasn't,
a lot of people aren't
was,
born disabled, but they become
right.
disabled.
Right. And
you know?
I was also, don't forget, I was shunned from being disabled from a lot of people in my family, not my parents. My parents were like, okay, let's
no,
do
we
what
all
we can
are.
To help you. Yeah, let's do yeah. what we can to help you. But cousins and family members and everything, they were told you, no, you know, let's, you know, they made fun of you, or they didn't know what to say to you. They backed away from you. You know, it wasn't easy.
People are going to be like that no matter what.
Yeah.
But the point is, these agencies should be doing a lot more to help us. Do we have
yeah,
any other callers?
Should. Yeah, we have Maureen still waiting.
Oh, just Maureen. Okay, Robin, we have to
yeah.
take another call.
Robin, are you there?
But thank you.
Huh? Thank you, Robin. That's right. I hope you
thank you,
there.
Robin, for calling in and
okay.
Call in more often.
Yeah, please.
All right, Inner Sight around the world, 213-816-1650, and honoring Joe Arion tonight. If you didn't know who he was the assistant director of Inner Sight and a great advocate in transportation. And he also advocated for many other things. You know, he was great for people who use guide dogs. Joe knew about dogs too. He was a good guy. All right,
and
let's take a.
Every, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
ahead.
Wait a minute. You want to tell us a story about Joe? Well,
yeah, I
what
do.
Was the story?
About the apple pie.
Oh, the apple pie. Oh.
one Christmas, Joe. I said, Joe, you got to bring something to this Christmas party that we were going to. And he goes, I don't want to bring anything. I don't feel like I have to bring anything. I said, you have to bring something. I'll bring it for you. All you have to do is pay me $2. $2. He never paid me the two damn bucks. So
you made a big deal
and
out
this
of
was,
it.
Yeah, this was an ongoing
$2.
Thing. All yes, $2. Do you know, what was it, like about a year later, right? Was
yeah.
it a year or a year or two later? I get
yeah.
$20. In the, yeah, he gave me 20 because that's how much the pie cost, really.
Well,
he
wanted to make up for it.
No, but it really, he knew how much it cost. He knew how much that particular pie cost.
He had it up
I
the interest.
Out for it.
Joe was very
yeah.
good with money. He knew about money.
He knew. No, he just called. I know
yeah.
him by now. I know him. He called Zorn's. And asked how much their fresh baked apple pie was, and it was
yeah.
a big pie, a huge pie, and he called them, and it was like $20. It was a
but
huge
you wanted
pie.
To give him change, and he
pie.
Wouldn't take it.
No, he wouldn't. I was going to give him back $18 because I said I was the woman of my word. I said all you have to do is put forth $2, and I was going to give him $18 back. He would not. This man, he goes, take it and shut up.
Yeah. All right.
And that's my
that
Joe
was Joe.
Story for today. That was Joe.
He was a real right. inner sight person.
Yeah, he was.
All
I
right,
have
let's
many
get
other
Maureen.
Stories, but we don't have time. Here's Maureen.
We have a million
here she
stories
comes.
About Joe.
Oh, we have a lot.
Let's get
here's,
Maureen.
Here's Maureen. Okay, here she comes.
On the line, Inner Sight Live. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear
yes,
me?
Yes, hi.
Yeah, we
oh,
hear you.
Oh, good. Okay. Because I think I got phone in the, I think I got something in the microphone part of my phone, so it's been acting, the voice goes up, it goes down. So I just wanted to say I'm sorry I never knew Joe. He sounds like a terrific guy and
yeah.
for, you know, doing what he did for Inner Sight. And you guys
he fought
continuing.
Hard for you, really do.
Yeah, continuing. You've helped me, you know, in the past several times, and what you're trying to do
thank
for
you.
The nursing homes and the guide dogs. And, you know, it's great that you guys are there to help or try to help
yeah.
in whatever way you can. So, and, you know, I'm glad I'm a part of Inner Sight, too.
Aww.
And, you know, I just, I never knew him, but he sounds like a great guy, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How's your mom,
those stories. She's still positive for it, you know, no symptoms, but asymptomatic. And the doctor called
I
today.
I can't believe that
know.
She's
I get
still
to...
positive for this thing. They can't shake it out of her yet?
I don't know. They said sometimes the older you are, it takes a longer time. You
Maureen,
know?
tell them you want her and get it for her. Don't wait for them to get it.
Mm.
Tell her you want her to have wild oil of oregano. Couple of drops.
You know, the doctor called today, and I was so flabbergasted. It was early this morning. I didn't even get to ask her a couple questions I should have asked her even, because I'm thinking she's telling me about Tuesday's test. I think she was talking about she was tested again today, so I didn't even think to tell her about the oil of oregano.
I'm telling you,
that's what would
help her, and anybody
else. Yeah, I'll have to tell her.
See how quick the oil of oregano will work in this stupid antivirals. I'm wondering if she's on remdesivir or something now. What is she on, did they say?
Yeah, it was just an antibiotic, it ended in mycin. I don't know if she's still on that. That's what I forgot. That was one of the questions I forgot to ask today.
Well, call her back tomorrow. You know what?
I can't get it. I was shocked she called me. That's why I was so flabbergasted that she even called, you know, because I never usually get it.
Well, you got to insist that they give her that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? I'll have to do that because,
or even,
yeah.
You know what you do? I would do it this way. I'd say, you know, my mom likes this stuff. Put this on her food all the time.
Yeah, you know.
Sneak it in. You know, I mean,
yeah,
that's another
really
way.
Some tell me she's eating good, some tell me she's not. Well, I think she's eating the honey buns and stuff that I sent her. That's what she's eating, I think, a lot. You know,
oh
so
my.
They ate
that's
last night said, why don't you
time.
Bring us stuff? I said, well, I brought her cakes and all last week. She said, well, bring her more stuff. So I have to see what I can bring her now.
Oh, bring her
more,
the wild,
you know,
wild
so.
Oregano.
Tell them to put it on the food and the juice, whatever. I'm serious. Put it in juice. Only a drop.
You only need a drop.
Only a drop. Put a drop in this. She likes it in her food or some crazy comment like that. And say she likes it. And say, you know, say secretly to your mom, this is going to be good for your health. You know, and take it.
Or
tell her what it is. Get her on the phone.
Get
her
to know what it is. Yeah, get her on the phone. Tell her what it is. Don't let them know, of course.
Well, this is how can I do that though? They do this. I don't know how I could do that though. You know, I don't.
Who
she couldn't do it herself.
Call?
She couldn't. She couldn't do it herself.
No. You tell them she likes this in her food. That's all.
Oh yeah.
It's oregano. I mean, what the heck? It's only,
right,
it's oregano. How harmful can oregano be? Come on.
I know. Well, I'll have to go
talk
to her and get it first, and then I'll bring it.
We got to get out of here, ladies. So, Inner Sight around the world. Tomorrow night, the Funnies, Laura and Hardy in the pool room, among other things. And I want to thank everybody, all our listeners, almost 93,000. Maybe this show will bring 93,000.
Yeah, I think it will.
And Inner Sight means freedom. Advocates for the Disabled. Phone number 631-224-3090. I want to thank all of our callers. And don't forget, you heard Robin say, nobody starves on Long Island. Gary, 631-484-3085 if you need food for the animals or medical. All right, thank you so much, Inner Sight, around the world. Goodbye, world. Inner Sight, thank you. Good night, everybody. Inner Sight.
Good night, everyone.